You may be familiar with Ned Flanders from Springfield, from The Simpsons. Howdy doodly to all of you. If you've seen him, he kind of encapsulates what most people think of when they think of Christians. And that's if they're being charitable. You know, they're nice, but they're a bit boring. They're a bit irritating. We're just nice. Or we're also known for not being nice enough. We're out campaigning against all the people that we hate, and God hates you, and God's going to punish you, and so on. So we can't really win. Thanks to Mr. Bean, we're just known for being incredibly boring. And actually, there's that combination of boredom and terror when you go into a church, because A, you don't know whether you're meant to be standing up or sitting down, or what you're meant to be doing. And B, it is just death. It's just so boring. And to be honest, sometimes we don't help ourselves. You even see it in the decor. I'm about to show you a picture that was so well-intentioned. It was a mural that was painted by some women in a church. It's meant to say, arise, in big red letters. But someone decided that the eye might be good to have as a tree growing up. And, well, you can see the effect. It doesn't quite give the message that they were after. The tree is there, but what you tend to see is just a big red set of words. Or these guys here, they didn't think through the acronym. You know, I mean, worship, teaching and friends are all good, but just let's not have the big WTF up there. Sometimes, particularly in America, they also haven't thought through their signs. Here's one, Church of the Cross: don't let worries kill you, let the church help. Or, do you know what hell is? Come hear our preacher. And nor is it just in America. I'm about to out our own sister church. Oakley Community Church have got a big sign outside. They have had, Jesus loves hurting people. Now, you kind of know what they meant, but also it could be misinterpreted. And you just know that maybe Jesus is like face palming, thinking, oh, guys, think it through. Think it through before you put it up on the poster. And yet, there is some truth to this, isn't there? Like, Jesus does love people who are hurting. Let's put it that way. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at to a degree today. So we're part of a sermon series of exploring our values, up in out. So if you were here last week, you would have heard Ryan. He was talking about up. He was talking about worship. What does worship look like? And this week, we're going to be looking at in a way, down. Like, what happens when God is working in us? And this is part one. So part today is actually going to be, what happens when God works in me? And next week is going to be, what happens when God works in us collectively? So what does it look like? We've got only one verse that we're going to be looking at today, which I've managed to make incredibly small. So I will read it out to you. So because I can see it if I just peer at the TV very closely. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It's one of those sort of almost throwaway verses that you get towards the end of the letters that Paul writes, in between, like, oh, can someone bring my cloak and say hello to so-and-so? He says this: now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read it one more time. In the first service, I was like, let's read this together. And everyone was like, we can't see that. So I'll read it one more time. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you'd like the message version with added sass, it's this: may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependent. If he said it, he'll do it. So you've got to have a bit of this as well when you say that. We want the sass in there as well, because our God is amazing. So what does it look like? What does it look like to be holy and whole? On the one side, God is the potter and we are the clay. He is molding us and he's shaping us. Sometimes we're not very good at being clay. Sometimes we're like, wait, God, when I said I'd give you everything, I didn't mean that thing. Like, you know, you can have everything else. Sometimes we're not comfortable with him removing a bit of clay, with him smoothing out those edges that need to be smoothed. And yet, when we allow him to, what does he make from us? It's amazing the ways in which he can transform and turn us into something that we would never have thought we could be. So he's making us holy, but he's also making us whole. Every single one of us has experienced damage. None of us are okay. All of us have been damaged by bad choices that we've made. We've been damaged by bad choices that other people have made. We've been damaged by just systemic things, whether it's racism or injustice or terrible weather. I was just listening to a report that said, you know, we can expect winters like this now. We're going to be battered by winds because of climate change, because things are changing in our environment. So there's all sorts of ways in which we need to be made whole. And this happens holistically. So this is both your soul, your body, and your mind. C.S. Lewis talked about... C.S. Lewis talked about how, in many ways, he was reason to faith. He was exploring faith, and for him, it was very much an intellectual thing. And he was an intellectual man. But that wasn't enough. When his wife died of cancer, slowly, and he had to watch, and he had to be part of that journey... When he just howled by himself afterwards, just longing for some kind of respite, intellectual knowledge is not going to cut it. And it didn't. It wasn't enough for him then. He needed more. So having a renewing of our mind and a transforming of the way we think is really important, but it's not the only thing. Then there's, of course, the physical, there's the body, the transforming of that. You know, talk to people who've experienced miraculous healing, and it's amazing. You know, talk to Lawrence. Lawrence came back from the dead just before Christmas. That's pretty flipping amazing, isn't it? His heart stopped for like 9 minutes or something. And now he's okay, and he shouldn't be. You know, medically speaking, he should have huge amounts of brain damage or be dead. Those are his two options. And yet God has provided a third one, Jesus. And yet, actually, the physical isn't enough. You know, you look at the people who Jesus healed. I mean, you know, he would heal 10 lepers and was surprised only one of them came back to actually say, hey, thank you. And like, can you tell me more about who you are, this amazing healer? So we need to see transformation in our bodies, but not just in our bodies. Our emotions. You know, sometimes it's a case of actually like, yeah, no, my body's fine. My mind's all right. But I have got such problems with anger. Or like, I just feel this overwhelming sense of fear the whole time that holds me back from doing what I think I'm meant to do. And I just feel like I'm boxed in. Or like the struggles that I've had with depression and the way that I see myself. You know, I just feel utterly worthless. And even if I know in my head that's not true, the journey from my head to heart, it seems like one that's just too long. I don't know if I can make it. And then we need to experience a renewing in our spirit. As we experience God at work in the deep places in our heart, changing us, making us more like him. Have any of you been transformed by God? And if you have, is it something that you just keep to yourself? Because if it is, then I, A, question whether you have actually been changed. And B, if you have been, don't be selfish. Don't keep that to yourself. Share it with other people. And that's really going to be the theme for this morning. We sometimes use this very religious word, testimony, which I don't particularly like. I just think we tell stories, and each one of us have got lots of stories to tell about ways in which we are being changed. We are changing. We are transforming. The present continuous tense you can hear in there. We are works in progress, all of us. And all of us are testimonies. All of us are stones in God's house. This is just a building. It's nothing special. And we're not interested in church as a building or as an institution. Church should be family. It should be community. And all of us, you know, we're works in progress. We're gradually being changed, but we are being changed as a trajectory. Some of you may have heard of celebrities, people like Kanye West or Justin Bieber, who recently have spoken out publicly about ways in which Jesus is changing them. And it's very easy for Christians sometimes to immediately start saying, oh yeah, but what about this, what about that? And you still got a massive ego, Kanye, and so on. Yeah, because this isn't the end. It's transforming. It's present continuous. They are being transformed. And I wonder, when was the last time you prayed for Kanye or for Justin or for other people who are sticking their necks out, getting it wrong some of the time, not always walking that talk? But I would hate to have to live in the spotlight in the way that they do. That they don't have the luxury that we have often of making mistakes in private. Everything they do is scrutinized. So can we remember our Christians and Christian brothers and sisters in prayer? And that's one thing I want to say. The other thing is that there is something so contagious about your story. When we talk about ways in which God is transforming us, it is a blessing and it is an encouragement to other people. It's really important. We don't always have to be polished or really articulate. We don't always have to have just the right words. Sometimes we something. Oh, there's one other thing I meant to say. I'm about to show you what moves me to tears. This is Letitia Wright. You may not recognize the name, but you'll recognize the face. She was in Black Panther. She had a starring role in the last series of Black Mirror. She's been in lots of different things. And I'm about to show you her receiving a BAFTA, and she just cannot keep quiet about Jesus. Let's have a look.
Thank you. I identify myself as a child of God, and I can't get up here without thanking God. A few years ago, I saw myself in a deep state of depression, and I literally wanted to quit acting. The only thing that pretty much pulled me out of that was God, my belief, my faith, my family, and an email from BAFTA saying that they wanted me to be a part of the BAFTA Breakthrough Brits. And I was like, let me try again. So this wasn't an overnight thing. This wasn't a click of a finger success, and it's still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. But I want to just thank God. I want to thank my family. I want to thank my team at IAG, Femi, Icky, everybody at WME. I want to thank everybody that said yes to me. I want to say thank you to everybody that gave me a chance and just saw my talent, saw what God placed in me and said yes. I want to encourage young people. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be young. You can be any age. But I just want to encourage you, anybody that's going through a hard time or something in their soul or that they've lost their light, I want to encourage you that God made you and you're important. There might be some of you here that's going through depression, that's going through a bad time, and you're putting on a smile on your face and nobody can see that, but you know it and God knows it. And I just want to encourage you, and I just want to say that God loves you, and just let your light shine. God bless you all. Thank you so much. And the category that I'm in, the category, to be a part of this category means so much to me. I'm so honored. You guys all inspire me. Lakeith, Barry, Jesse, Cynthia, all of you. You have inspired me so much. So God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Isn't it amazing? Who's got goosebumps? I have, and I've watched this a few times. And this isn't a one-off thing. I mean, this wasn't even the clip I was trying to find. I was trying to find the time when she was being interviewed on Breakfast TV about Black Panther. She's like, anyway, about Jesus. she's just like, every opportunity I have, I want to talk about what he has done for me. Yeah, and what I love is that her grammar isn't perfect. I love the fact that that she kind of loses her train of thought at times. I love the fact that they don't start clapping about Jesus. It's only when the BAFTAs get mentioned that there's applause. But anyway, never mind. There's something powerful. Something has changed in us, hasn't it? Just from hearing her story. she's talked about ways in which God has changed her mind, the ways in which he's changed her heart. And transformation looks different for all of us. We're all different, but actually, transformation looks the same. For me, probably the most powerful reason, whenever I have doubts about my faith, what really keeps me going is the fact that I've spent time in more than 50 different countries. I've got to share Jesus in many of them, and I've met Christians in those different places, and they're so different. You know, I've worshipped with people in mud huts in rural India, in parts of South Sub-Saharan Africa, where we've got like a battered old guitar, a drum, and man, have we got a lot of time as well, because we are going to just keep going until sunset. In Muslim contexts in Central Asia, and the thing that is the same, whether it's in China or in Europe or in Latin America, which I haven't been, is that when Jesus works in us, we see the same kind of things happen. You know, you could be a Victorian, fictitious character from a Dickens novel who, in this instance, with the Muppet Christmas Carol, has a frog as your accountant. Or you could be a first century tax collector who encounters Jesus. And it's the same things that happen, whether you're Zacchaeus or Scrooge. You know, if it's before like money had this hold over me, before this greed that I had in my life, it just drove everything. I didn't care about people, I cared about profit. But now I'm changed. You always see the fruits of the Spirit. These are concepts that were created by Paul back in the first century, a completely different cultural context to the one that we're in today. But it's the same. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're timeless and they are good, aren't they? And what's really amazing is that, you know, transformation doesn't just happen, like she said, with a click of a finger. Sometimes it's a gradual thing. Sometimes, you know, we have our good days and bad days. We have our two steps forwards, but we have our one step back. And yet God is in the business of transforming us. And I love it when I meet a butterfly who says, you see that caterpillar over there? I used to be like that. And you're like, no, look at those wings. Yeah, it's like, no, haven't you lost weight? Yeah, no, I did. I used to be like that caterpillar. That is what transformation looks like. And it's amazing. I remember I lived on a ship called the Doulos, which is an international mission ship. And the ship was in Papua New Guinea at one point. And one of my friends, he was on a land team that went to a women's prison in PNG. And quite often, the sort of programs were fairly haphazardly planned, like, you know, in the van, on the way to the venue, right, who's going to do what? And my mate Tim, I think he was going to lead the thing, but then there was this Dutch girl who said, "Oh, I'd like to do the preaching." She was this girl who was just really full of this kind of modesty and godliness. Just when you looked at her, you could just see Jesus shining out of her. And she got up and she started to preach to these women in this prison, and she said, "I used to be like you. You know, I was a sex worker. And I ended up in prison as well. But Jesus has really changed me." And my friend's jaw just dropped. He was like, "I don't believe you. You're a butterfly. How on earth could you have been that? Like, you're a fully grown frog. You weren't some tadpole before. I just can't believe it." That is how God transforms. And I love hearing those stories where the only reason I believe people is because I know that they're not lying. In the first service, Tosin, our church warden, who is one of the most level-headed, calm people that I know, talked about, you know, when I was growing up, I was constantly getting into fights. I was constantly shooting my mouth off. And really, Jesus has changed me. This is what transformation looks like. It is amazing. And it doesn't just happen in isolation, and nor should it only be talked about in isolation. We need to hear each other's stories, because that is going to be what encourages us and causes us to grow. So with that in mind, please can you all stand up? I did tell you this was going to be an amazing sermon, and now the good bit starts. What I'd like you to do, I'd like you to find somebody who you didn't come to church with today and pair up with them. Only when you found someone who you didn't come to church with, can you sit down with them. If you haven't, just stay standing or raise a hand until you can partner up with somebody. Yep. Okay, let's do that. I want you to think about two things. First is the water cooler moment. Do you know what I mean by that? When you're in the office and you're at the water cooler and you're just chatting about, oh yeah, did you watch what? How was your weekend? That moment that you get to share your faith, it's often not a very long moment. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes each. So you're going to have 6 minutes in total. And what I want you to think about is that question: how has Jesus transformed me? Or how is he transforming me? Yeah. You've got 3 minutes. Figure out who's going to start. Your time starts now. You've got about 30 seconds left. Okay, I'm going to have to rein you in now. Really sorry about this. Can I just say that watching you from here is one of the most enjoyable experiences. Seeing quite a few unlikely pairings, even seeing a few people now just hugging each other, you know, someone who was a stranger before and you've just shared your stories with each other. So here's what we're going to do. You're not going to keep this to yourselves. You've got two options. You can either say, actually, yeah, I would like to nominate the person who just told me their story, because I think everyone needs to hear this. Or if they're looking at you saying, don't you dare even consider doing that, then what you could do is you could start the story off and say, look, this person who I talked to, here's their story in a nutshell. So those are your two options. We've got a little bit of time. If we run over, I'm not apologetic at all. I don't mind us doing that for 5 minutes or something. So who's going to go first? Hands up. Yep, all right. Here we go. All right, who's talking?
Okay, well, funny enough, one of the things I said was that he's teaching me to keep my mouth shut, and there I go, opening it up already.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, thank you. So we were saying how loving God changes you because you're constantly aware and you don't want to hurt him. And so the things that you do are, you're constantly learning that he is watching you, he is present, and this relationship that you don't want to hurt the God, and that's what changes you and makes you much more aware that there is this other presence in your life. So the constancy is I forgot my thread now. Sorry. So changing many aspects of yourself, and it's an ongoing thing, as we've just said, but no, I've forgotten. I'm so sorry. You're gonna have to.
All right. Anything you want to add, Atana?
That's good. She's cool. Poor girl. I have many issues before. So anger is about me, everything, and selfish. I can say repented about sexual. So everything is about what I wanted and who I wanted, but now stick what God wants from me and stick to the Lord, stick to my husband, and that's what I'm doing now.
Amazing. Let's have a round of applause for both of them. Yeah, you want to say something?
Yes. My name is Mohsen. Hello.
Hello.
I'm 1 year, 3 months in England. I'm Christian. I love Jesus. Thanks, Jesus.
Wonderful. Good to have you here. Who else? Who's next? Oh, yep. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I'm nominating Keith. He had a very good story. But having said that, I think his story is very moving. I take Christianity for granted because I was born into a Christian family. But when you hear moving stories, such as the one I heard from Keith today, that is serious.
Yeah. So that's the intro, right? Yeah.
Okay, I became a Christian 36 years ago. I was newly divorced, but very soon after I became a Christian, he healed me from the pain that I had in my body. I stopped lying, I stopped swearing. But then as my life went on, he started new changes in me. And he healed me from the effects of having been party to an abortion with my wife who I divorced. He began to go even deeper in me, and he healed me from when I lost my brother as a small child, which I kept hidden in me for many years, and he healed me of that grief. But then he took me even further back, and he healed me of the abuse that I'd had when I was a young baby. And he put forgiveness in me so that I could forgive others and forgive my abuser. But then he kept on working in me. And when I lost my second wife about 4 years ago, about 6 months after that, he did a very deep work in me that I'd been grieving for 6 months, and I went on a conference with Dave and the Healing on the Streets team. And in that conference, I knew that he'd healed me of that grief because I was deeply weeping. But then God turned me over and I started laughing. And I laughed like I'd never laughed before in that conference. Not once, not twice, but three times. And on the Saturday night afterwards, when I got home, in the middle of the night, I just felt this transformational electricity going up and down my body. And I knew that the Lord had healed me and he was anointing me for more work in the future. But then the third thing happened was that I met Anita. And what people don't know is that Anita, I've now married Anita, and but the work is still going, because one particular thing he healed me of was having a critical spirit. He exposed that. As iron sharpens iron, he healed me and he moved me on, and it's still working. God's still working. God's still working.
Preach it. Love it. Thank you. Who's next? Sorry.
We found that we have a very similar story in that I came from a pastor's family that was, it was loving but was also religious. And to put it simply, I suffered abuse very young but didn't realize it until I was 52. And my whole life had been manifesting it. I had no memory of it. And basically, it's been all about forgiveness and God putting his finger on the things that needed and the people that needed to be forgiven from as far back as the womb. And forgiveness, a lack of forgiveness only hurts us, doesn't hurt the abuser or the offender. And forgiveness just brings such amazing freedom. Such amazing freedom, and it's transformational. And I have no more anger in my life. And life is just good. Even when it goes difficult, God is still faithful and good. And forgiveness.
Yeah, bitterness is drinking poison, hoping the other person dies.
I'm kind of person that wants a feedback from God straight away. And I never give chance God to work at his pace. And I've been learning to and giving God chance, and for myself as well, to work at God's pace. And it's involves trusting, self-controlling. And I so many times as God replied to me, I'm writing little notes to God. And I'm hiding it away from him and from myself. But God knows what I want, really, and what I want sincerely. And I also have a long-term desire that I think God will answer to me. I don't know when, because I stopped asking when and why. And I just put trust in God, and I'm waiting His time for that. Thank you, God.
Brilliant. Thank you. Wonderful. Isn't that great? I used to be really impatient with God, but now I've learned to trust Him and let Him work at His pace. Love it. Who else? Oh, come on. You guys were I couldn't shut you up before. Right, here we go.
Yeah, mine was just an identity thing. I just thought I was awful and horrible, had no self-worth. And Jesus just did a healing in me through dreams. So dreams in chronological order of my life, of everything that I'd been through, starting with just telling me I was beautiful. And then it was sort of probably for about a year, literally. It would have taken years and years and years in counselling, but He sort of healed me completely. So I'm completely whole. I know that I'm God's child, so I can move on and stop looking at myself and look at Him.
Thank you. Yep.
Nigel's going to tell something of his story.
Come on, Nigel. Come on, you
I'm just glad to know that I made a new friend this morning, Charles.
Not for long.
Sat behind me, and we just turned around and we clicked. Charles is Kiwi, he's from New Zealand. Myself.
Your story.
I was trying to avoid that. I grew up back in Nigeria as an angry young man, and everything sets me off. Everything and anything sets me off. If you said to me, good morning, I'll ask you, what's good about the morning? But I found Jesus whilst at university, going to student fellowship. We didn't used to go for fellowship. We just went because pretty girls went to the fellowship. But then I got arrested by Jesus saying that I didn't need to come for the girls. I needed to come to actually save myself. Now I found that naturally I gravitate towards everything that the Lord wants for me. And I'm praying that His perfect will be done in my life.
Do you know what, Nigel? I find it hard to believe that you used to be this sort of angry, aggressive man, because I just see the butterfly. I don't see the caterpillar, and that is the work of the Lord. Thank you. Charles. Anyone else? Oh, Charles. Charles, okay, right. It's a mutual throwing under the bus here. Go on then, Charles. In English.
Not as exciting as Nigel's story. I guess as a 15-year-old man, I realized that as somebody who wanted to be kind of part of the solution to the world's problems, God put His finger on me and said, "Action a minute, Charles. There's the stuff in your life that you need. You're not a clean person. You need me to become clean in order to become a blessing to the rest of the world." And so through that, I think sort of God's changed my values and my priorities instead of looking to try and bless myself. And, to take more kingdom values in my life going forward. It's pretty vague, but anyway, there you go.
Thank you, Charles. Great. We've got time for one more.
Hi, my name is Alma. I'm coming from Islam background. It's about 2.5 years ago I gave my heart to Jesus. Then my husband, he found out he wasn't happy at all. And so after a while, he saw how much God is working on me and transformed me. So it's about 6 months after, he came to me and he said to me he wants to give his heart to Jesus. And God has transformed me and my family, because my dad, my sister, and my mom, they gave their heart to Jesus. God relieved me from anger. I was so worried. I was a worried person, so I was worried all the time. So at the moment, God took all my worry and gave me His calmness. And I'm revealed from anger. And what else I can say? I was trying to control everyone, not just my own thing and everyone else. And what I can say is God, at the moment, I don't take control of anyone else. And even for my personal thing, I give everything to Jesus. And I want God to take a control of even my personal choices in my life. All the glory to God.
Great. Thank you so much, Alma. That was brilliant. So listen, we're going to finish off in a minute. But first question I have for you is, who's found this encouraging? Yeah? Okay, that's not everyone, but that's quite a lot of you. That's good. Another question is, who feels that they just know people in the church a little bit better now than they did at the beginning of the service? Yeah. You see, it's very easy for this to feel like just a gathering that we come to and then disperse, rather than a community that we're part of. Maybe you want to change your lunch plans, but also maybe you would like to actually get a bit more involved in the lives of other people. I'm going to ask the hospitality team now. They're going to go around, they're going to hand out a little piece of paper with the different life groups that we have going on at St. Bees. So two of the life groups that started quite early on are now pretty much full. So we thought, well, rather than give them more people, quite a few of the life groups we have going right now only have about 3 people turning up per week. So there is so much room and space for them to grow and for you to get involved. Doing life together is so much better than doing life alone. And actually, having people who walk with you throughout the week, you know, people who notice if you're not there. I mean, to be honest, in the church, the 11:30 service is the place you are least likely to be noticed. Sometimes we hear about people who left the church sort of half a year or a year ago. We're like, oh, did they? That's the problem with the big church. So discover the beauty of small. Discover the beauty of being part of a small group that will be family to you, that will be looking out for you, that will challenge you, that will encourage you in that whole transformation. I was asked during the worship time as well if we could pray specifically for Iran, which is experiencing the coronavirus. But I think it'd be good, maybe just for a moment, as those things are going around, as you fill them in, I just want to pray for what's happening in our world with the coronavirus in general. And then we're going to come to a finish. Lord God, it says in your word that we are the body of Christ, and that where one part of the body suffers, like a stubbed toe, the whole body feels it. And sometimes that's just not true. Sometimes we just don't seem to be that worried about what's going on with our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. Would you forgive us where we've become just a bit too self-centered? And we want to remember brothers and sisters in Wuhan province, in China, and in other places where there are hotspots right now of the coronavirus. Look, we think of Iran, and now in our own continent, we think of Italy, where large amounts of quarantines are being put in place. And God, we ask that you would bring something good out of this. Look, we pray for those who right now are in that 2-week window where they're like, I don't know, do I have it? Do I not have it? Think of those people who went off on a cruise and they're still stuck in their cabins. Lord, would you meet with them? We pray, Lord, this would be a time where they get themselves right before you. And Lord, we pray you would bring something good out of this sense of actually our divided world, having a common enemy that we can all agree on is an enemy rather than each other. Please bring some good stuff out of this, Lord. And we pray for a solution. We pray for some sort of vaccine to halt the spread of this. And would you forgive us for ways in which we failed in creation care and where we've allowed things like this to happen. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. So I'd like to invite the band up. But before that, I just want to say, this is not the end. None of your stories have finished. If they had, you wouldn't be here. They finish when you draw your last breath. As we heard from Keith, who's been a Christian for 36 years, was it? 36? 30, yeah. It's a constant work in progress. It's a constant present continuous. Our God is at work in us, and he continues to do that. Why don't we respond to that in worship?